Abitur Englisch.
Please open your question papers and write your name in the box on page 3. You will hear two different broadcasts, each of them twice. You now have 2 minutes to read the instructions and the questions. You'll now hear the first broadcast.
For the last month, NPR and Youth Radio have been reporting on the changing relationship between the millennial generation and the automobile.
When I try to imagine my dream car, I draw a blank, and then I reach for my phone.
The symbol of freedom isn't the car anymore.
I'm not sure that any car company truly understands this next generation of car buyers.
And my girlfriend drives me everywhere, so I mean, 20 years ago, I'd be considered pathetic, but it's almost normal now to be that way.
Some highlights from our recent reporting on young people and cars. In the final installment of our series, NPR's Sonari Glinton reports that millennial driving habits are forcing auto executives to rethink how they sell cars.
When you think about young people and car owners, you've got to look at the economy. Since I have 1 foot solidly middle-aged, I thought I'd ask my colleague at Youth Radio, Ashley Williams, who's 19, to take the pulse of her peers.
Nicole Brown, 18.
Do you have a car, Nicole?
No, I do not have a car.
Why not?
Because it's very expensive and I cannot pay for gas at the moment.
My name is Nkosi Richardson. I'm 17 years old.
No, I'm not interested in driving right now.
Why not?
Because cars and gas are both expensive, and I have a bike.
And my favorite response from our very unscientific youth radio survey is from V. Hines.
Like, you'd have to be a doctor at 17 to get a car.
They are very much interested in vehicles and in car ownership. It is currently simply being delayed by whatever financial circumstance they find themselves in.
Isabel Helms is a researcher with Autotrader.com. In the last month, her company released a study that shows young people want cars, but for the most part, can't afford them.
What was very interesting is the few number of millennials that told us they didn't need to drive or had no interest in driving. Both of those reasons came back as single-digit responses, one at 9%, the other one at 6%.
There are about 80 million millennials in the U.S. It's the biggest generation outside of the baby boom. So even if a small percentage of them don't want to drive, that means many millions of Americans without wheels, and that's trouble for the car business.
They're different, but how different are they, and how will that manifest itself in the future? It's difficult to know.
Susan Shaheen studies car sharing and bike sharing at the University of California at Berkeley. She says we don't know yet if a large portion of millennials will reject car ownership forever, especially since some of life's big events haven't happened to them yet.
Having children changes your life. I can attest to it. And it changes your, or it has impacted my feelings about mobility and instant access to a vehicle in case of an emergency.
Shaheen says for the vast majority of people who live in small cities and suburbs, there's little or no public transportation, and no one has found a way to make car sharing work in those parts of the country. Interestingly, car companies are seeing that as an opportunity. John McFarlane is with General Motors.
Historically, I think that as an industry, you could look at car sharing as a threat and say, wow, there's a trend where people no longer feel like they need to own vehicles, and that can cut into our sales. What do? You know, we're actually looking at it quite differently.
GM has a partnership with a peer-to-peer car service called Relay Rides. And right now, almost every big car company has some kind of stake in a car sharing or transportation app. McFarlane says, essentially, if you can't beat them, why even try?
We're looking at it as a way, to reach new buyers, to reach new potential customers that maybe aren't quite ready to buy a car and to own it and everything that comes with it, but that are in need of transportation today.
I'm Cheryl Connolly. I'm the in-house futurist for Ford Motor Company.
Futurist, that's an interesting title. What does that mean?
Ironically, what it means is that I spend most of my time reminding people that no one can predict the future.
Cheryl Connolly, the futurist at Ford, says for her company to have a future, they have to think beyond the car. She says Ford, for instance, has to become a consumer electronics company.
We'll continue to deliver. We'll probably still always be on four wheels, but I think it'll be much more than just mobility. I try to think about the future of the car as being a toolbox on wheels. What are the things that you need? How can we deliver it in a timely fashion that's appropriate for the individual or appropriate for the context?
Context. It's likely that cars will have a central role in our lives for quite some time to come. It's just their context that's changing. Or it already has. Sonari Glenton, NPR News.
Our series on young people in cars was a joint production of NPR and Youth Radio.
You now have 2 minutes to answer the questions. You'll now hear the first broadcast for the second and final time.
For the last month, NPR and Youth Radio have been reporting on the changing relationship between the millennial generation and the automobile.
When I try to imagine my dream car, I draw a blank, and then I reach for my phone.
The symbol of freedom isn't the car anymore.
I'm not sure that any car company truly understands this next generation of car buyers.
And my girlfriend drives me everywhere, so I mean, 20 years ago I'd be considered pathetic, but it's almost normal now to be that way.
Some highlights from our recent reporting on young people and cars. In the final installment of our series, NPR's Sonari Glinton reports that millennial driving habits are forcing auto executives to rethink how they sell cars.
When you think about young people and car owners, you've got to look at the economy. Since I have one foot solidly in middle age, I thought I'd ask my colleague at Youth Radio, Ashley Williams, who's 19, to take the pulse of her peers.
Nicole Brown, 18.
Do you have a car, Nicole?
No, I do not have a car.
Why not?
Because it's very expensive and I cannot pay for gas at the moment.
My name is Nkosi Richardson. I'm 17 years old.
No, I'm not interested in driving right now.
Why not?
Because cars and gas are both expensive, and I have a bike.
And my favorite response from our very unscientific youth radio survey is from V. Hines.
Like, you'd have to be a doctor at 17 to get a car.
They are very much interested in vehicles and in car ownership. It is currently simply being delayed by whatever financial circumstance they find themselves in.
Isabel Helms is a researcher with Autotrader.com. In the last month, her company released a study that shows young people want cars, but for the most part, can't afford them.
What was very interesting is the few number of millennials that told us they didn't need to drive or had no interest in driving. Both of those reasons came back as single-digit responses, one at 9%, the other one at 6%.
There are about 80 million millennials in the U.S. It's the biggest generation outside of the baby boom. So even if a small percentage of them don't want to drive, that means many millions of Americans without wheels, and that's trouble for the car business.
They're different, but how different are they, and how will that manifest itself in the future? It's difficult to know.
Susan Shaheen studies car sharing and bike sharing at the University of California at Berkeley. She says we don't know yet if a large portion of millennials will reject car ownership forever, especially since some of life's big events haven't happened to them yet.
Having children changes your life. I can attest to it. And it changes your, or it has impacted my feelings about mobility and instant access to a vehicle in case of an emergency.
Shaheen says for the vast majority of people who live in small cities and suburbs, there's little or no public transportation, and no one has found a way to make car sharing work in those parts of the country. Interestingly, car companies are seeing that as an opportunity. John McFarlane is with General Motors.
Historically, I think that as an industry, you could look at car sharing as a threat and say, wow, there's a trend where people no longer feel like they need to own vehicles, and that can cut into our sales. What do we do? You know, we're actually looking at it quite differently.
GM has a partnership with a peer-to-peer car service called Relay Rides. And right now, almost every big car company has some kind of stake in a car sharing or transportation app. McFarlane says, essentially, if you can't beat them, why even try?
We're looking at it as a way, to reach new buyers, to reach new potential customers that maybe aren't quite ready to buy a car and to own it and everything that comes with it, but that are in need of transportation today.
I'm Cheryl Connolly. I'm the in-house futurist for Ford Motor Company.
Futurist, that's an interesting title. What does that mean?
Ironically, what it means is that I spend most of my time reminding people that no one can predict the future.
Cheryl Connolly, the futurist at Ford, says for her company to have a future, they have to think beyond the car. She says Ford, for instance, has to become a consumer electronics company.
We'll continue to deliver. We'll probably still always be on four wheels, but I think it'll be much more than just mobility. I try to think about the future of the car as being a toolbox on wheels. What are the things that you need? How can we deliver it in a timely fashion that's appropriate for the individual or appropriate for the context?
Context. It's likely that cars will have a central role in our lives for quite some time to come. It's just their context that's changing, or it already has. Sonari Glenton, NPR News.
Our series on young people in cars was a joint production of NPR and Youth Radio.
You now have 2 minutes to answer the questions. You'll now hear the second broadcast.
And our next business story fits into the category of what were they thinking? Ford Motor Company is apologizing for ads sketched up by an agency in India, ads that have been decried as demeaning to women. They are cartoon drawings showing off how spacious a Ford trunk can be. One spoofs Italy's former prime minister, Silvio Berlusconi. He's at the wheel, and in the trunk, three women tied up. NPR's Sonari Glinton reports.
The ads were never used commercially. They were created by an ad agency hired in India by Ford, JWT India. The idea is that the trunk of Ford's Figo, a subcompact car, is so roomy, as the ads show, Paris Hilton could fit the Kardashian sisters bound and gagged in the trunk. Or a Formula One driver, Michael Schumacher, could fit his male rivals, again, bound and gagged in the trunk. Ford spokesman Chris Preuss says the ads were part of a creative exercise that was never and would never have been approved by the company.
It would be impossible to speculate what would leave individuals with the idea that this would be seen as any kind of a creative exercise that would be considered noteworthy or remarkable other than for its indecency and being so contrary to the standards that we all hold to.
The ads have caused a stir, especially given India's recent turmoil over violence against women. They also come at a particularly bad time for Ford as the Indian car market becomes increasingly important and India grows its own car business. Again, Ford's Chris Preuss.
It's brought a lot of embarrassment to the company, and we'd just like to move on and make sure it never happens again.
In a statement, the ad agency JWT India apologized as well, saying, quote, actions have been taken within the agency to deal with the situation. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
You now have 2 minutes to answer the questions. You'll now hear the second broadcast for the second and final time.
And our next business story fits into the category of what were they thinking? Ford Motor Company is apologizing for ads sketched up by an agency in India, ads that have been decried as demeaning to women. They are cartoon drawings showing off how spacious a Ford trunk can be. One spoofs Italy's former prime minister, Silvio Berlusconi. He's at the wheel, and in the trunk, three women tied up. NPR Sonari Glinton reports.
The ads were never used commercially. They were created by an ad agency hired in India by Ford, JWT India. The idea is that the trunk of Ford's Figo, a subcompact car, is so roomy, as the ads show, Paris Hilton could fit the Kardashian sisters bound and gagged in the trunk. Or Formula One driver Michael Schumacher could fit his male rivals, again, bound and gagged in the trunk. Ford spokesman Chris Preuss says the ads were part of a creative exercise that was never and would never have been approved by the company.
It would be impossible to speculate what would leave individuals with the idea that this would be seen as any kind of a creative exercise that would be considered noteworthy or remarkable other than for its indecency and being so contrary to the standards that that we all hold to.
The ads have caused a stir, especially given India's recent turmoil over violence against women. They also come at a particularly bad time for Ford as the Indian car market becomes increasingly important and India grows its own car business. Again, Ford's Chris Preuss.
It's brought a lot of embarrassment to the company, and we'd just like to move on and make sure it never happens again.
In a statement, the ad agency JWT India apologized as well, saying, quote, actions have been taken within the agency to deal with the situation. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
You now have 3 minutes to complete your answers. The test ends now. Please stop writing.